What is up, Fin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. We are getting ready. We are in camp-ish mode. OTA start today. What are they doing today? Real quick, though. Like, what are they doing today? Is it, like, legit OTA stuff? Or is it, like, hey, we're in here. Let's get situated. Real quick, and then I got to get to the sponsors.
No, they'll be on the field today.
Okay.
With helmets on.
But yes, go check out Prize Picks. We are going to talk about them later today. Play $5, get 50 instantly with that promo code HMA. Also, SeatGeek, baby. We're all using it to get our tickets. Let me tell you how I got it to go to the Mets game. Shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. I love using SeatGeek. I use it constantly. The app is fantastic. 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticket app. More than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, more. You got the MLB happening right now, NBA, NHL playoffs. I am actually on June 11th going to see a Mets game, bringing my daughter for the first time to a Mets game. Yes, I know I'm going to torture her, but I got my tickets through SeatGeek. Super fun, super easy to use. And this week, the NFL schedule is being released, so you can go ahead and grab your Dolphin tickets early. Super, super, super early. Tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after the purchase. I literally bought the Mets tickets, and less than 24 hours later, boom, they were in my account. So be sure to use the promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. Again, 10% off any tickets, festivals, concerts, games, using that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Again, thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring the Dolphin Collective. Fun fact, you know, I made that video, last week? Talking about how the Mets suck. They just won the series against the Yankees. 1-2 out of 3.
You inspired them by buying tickets to one of their games.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they'll pick it up. Maybe they'll pick it up. Go check out SeatGeek. Love using them. So yeah, OTA start today. Why? So you guys will be there tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
Why are they limited? Is this normal that you guys aren't there for the first day of OTAs?
This is normal.
Okay.
It's a new normal for the past, I don't know, decade or so.
It's like a CBA type thing? It's not like
a CBA thing? No. It's whatever teams want to do, they do have to open at least one of the practices of OTAs each week. We're going to get one of those, and they do have to open all 3 days of the mandatory minicamp.
Okay, so you guys will be there tomorrow, but not Thursday.
That is correct.
See, and this is why we do the collective, and this is why we work with these great gentlemen over here, because they give us the insider info that I would not have known otherwise. I pick their brains like crazy.
We get to watch once a week till we get to mini camp, then we watch all of mini camp, and then training camp gets here, and we'll be training camps opens up the end of July, and we'll be there generally every day, me and Alan, and I'll sit in front of the grumpy old man and we'll compare notes. And then when we got joint practices, we'll generally take one field and the other takes the other field, because we don't trust anybody else's eyes.
When is mini camp?
And beginning of June, let me tell you.
June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
So then it's hiatus.
No. Then they go back to for a final week of OTAs.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird. I thought and they then, ended with minicamp.
Then it's a hiatus.
Yeah. June 11th is the last OTAs.
All right. Unless they cancel, which has been known to happen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gone for about a month.
Yep.
A month and a half. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Stay out of trouble. That's all. I'm pretty sure that's what the coaches say. Stay in shape. Don't get hurt. Stay out of trouble.
That month and a half, I always say, all right, let's see who's going to be breaking news dealing with law enforcement. So hopefully we got a good group of guys that you
ain't
know.
Ain't nobody worried about law enforcement with this team. All these players are just trying to make the roster.
Yeah,
hey, Drew, they stay in
trouble.
Very, very true. So yeah, we're gonna talk about the newcomers today, being that you know it's kind of the first day that all 91. They have 91 right now, or all 91 are together. So
maybe we sure about that?
No, yeah. The rookies have been there during OTAs last week and they're doing on field work. They're just not doing like football work. Today like will be the beginning of football work. They'll actually wear helmets and
but this I was making a face to his statement like all 91 are gonna be there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, clearly. Well,
I don't know. H.A. got his money, so he'll be there.
He better be.
How about Brooks and Brewer? We don't know.
Man. Come on.
I think one of them on the way out.
Brooks got his money. Brewer got his money, and they just gave him all his money up front.
But he still doesn't have a contract for 2027.
True.
And he wants a contract for 2027.
True.
Okay.
What is his ranking among centers?
Number two. Well, the year before he was.
In salary?
Yeah. He's
I thought you meant like.
Middle of the pack, is he not? No, actually, he got a decent deal from the Dolphins. They get
Linderbaum screwed that up. Oh, yeah. So many teams.
I think he got like $8 million a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Total
$8 million a year.
Is that real money or fake money?
Well, that's why I was about to.
Guarantees.
So total guaranteed money before Linderbaum got his money was Creed Humphreys with $50 million. Mm-hmm. Then Linderbaum signed with the Vegas Raiders, and he's getting $81 million total guaranteed. And then if you want to do like per year APY, which again means nothing, you had Humphreys at 18, who was the most, and now you have Linderbaum at 27.
It's a big jump.
Yeah.
It's a big jump.
How much is Brewer getting?
I don't even, he's not even
the eight. He's under eight. He's under $8 million a year. Mm. I believe he signed a
So yeah, he got $10 million total guaranteed. So he is ranked. Where was it? I just saw it. 13th.
He signed a 3-year, $21 million deal. So he's
and this is the third year.
Yeah, this is the third year. So he's making like $70 a year
with 13. No guarantees.
This year, but he's already got his money. So why would he need the guarantee?
Well, what happens if
something happens
in camp?
Next year,
they already gave him a signing bonus. They turned his base salary into a signing bonus.
Mm. Got it.
And did what Omar loved. They added what Omar loves more than anything.
Four void years, not four one, years. Not two, not three, but four void years.
You get a void year.
Yes, it had to be done to facilitate the Jalen Waddle trade. So we are where we are.
It is what it is.
Do you see Brewer getting a contract extension with us, or do you think he's somewhere else next year?
I think Brewer gets extended. I'm more worried about
Brooks.
Brooks. I don't think he gets extended.
I'm just going to let the situation play itself out.
Wow, nice prediction right there.
Do you think they're probably waiting to see Rodriguez in camp? And potentially move Brooks if Rodriguez pans out to be that
guy. It ain't Brooks the one they're trying to move off on.
Maybe that's not the issue. The issue is June 1st. Mm. The cap that the Dolphins would take if they were to trade Jordan Brooks is a lot more significant if they trade him before June 1st. So if they are going to trade him, they're waiting for June 1st, not to see what Jacob Rodriguez looks like, although maybe that plays a little bit of a factor in it, but it's mostly because it makes more sense for them to do it after June 1st.
Omar better not be talking about Dotson either.
As Joe Barry said when, I forget what media member brought up the fact that if Jordan Brooks is going to be here, he's like, if? Like, where's he going? Like, you know something I don't know? And I was just, I thought that was very cute.
It's cute, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But Omar, what did you mean by he's not the one? Who is?
T-Dot is.
Really?
T-Dot's the one that they're ready, willing, and able to move off of. But as I've said in multiple formats, and I present the challenge to all of you, tell me the player who's preventing me from starting Rodriguez, Brooks, and T-Dot together. Who's the player that's stopping that?
Derrick Henry.
Okay. Oh, I mean, who's the Dolphins player?
Oh, you mean from that standpoint? Okay.
Yeah. Who's the Dolphins player that we're standing in the way, that we're holding progress?
Willie Gay?
Well, I mean, Willie Gay's a weak side linebacker, too. And come on, Willie Gay didn't play last year. Why would he play this year?
Somebody talked to one of the assistant coaches, talked about him being a Sam.
I'm sorry. I'm not a football novice. Willie Gay is not a Sam, but you know, it's cute if you think he is.
Do they have a Sam on the, like a true Sam on this roster?
They said David Ojobu.
Hold on. Let me get something. Alan, I'm confused. Alan, why, even though I know it was a joke, why did you say Derrick Henry though?
I was using an opposing running back who's going to carry the ball a lot, and he's going to take a toll on what would be a very undersized linebacker core.
Yeah, but Cooper DeJean seemed like it didn't mind whenever he was shutting Derrick Henry down and tackle for losses over and over and balling out.
I'm sorry, what are you talking about? What does the Eagles' safety have to do with the Dolphins having an undersized linebacker core?
No, I'm just saying, but Jacob Rodriguez is bigger than him. And it, to me, linebacker, I don't think the size matters if you got that thump and you're strong.
I can see that.
Yeah, really, Derrick Rodriguez's game, though, or is his game being around the ball and making plays on the ball? I don't recall everybody accusing Jacob Rodriguez of being a thumper.
Jacob Rodriguez is nasty. He gets in the mix. He finds the running back and takes him down.
Cool.
He strips the ball away from him.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I think the dude's a good player, but I mean,
do the Dolphins even play the Ravens?
No, but again, you guys, the point's going.
No. I don't see whether you, who are your Sam options? Chop Robinson, Josh Uche, who is 200.
No, he's 220. He's 220 or something.
Yeah, who are your our third guy options? Willie Gay, Josh Robinson, Uche. I guess Kyle Lewis.
Kyle Lewis is a sub linebacker, or almost like a strong.
Yeah. But I'm saying three linebackers. Obviously, he's going to be in play in the sub packages, so he's taking 700 of those snaps, or 500 of the 700 snaps. But I don't see any reason why you can't start all three linebackers.
So if you start all three of them, wouldn't we have one of the best linebacking corps in the league?
No.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do this again?
No, we're not doing this again.
We're going to do this again?
Last year,
premature evaluation.
Last year, two of them started. They produced 300 tackles, and there were six teams that were actually worse than the Dolphins at stopping the run. So
all I kept hearing at this time last offseason was like, you know what, Dolphins are going to have one of the best front sevens in the NFL. And I was like, can we wait until it happens? And what happened? Plop. I mean – damn,
man, we got a all pro first team and we not even giving this unit any love.
Okay, why we're not giving this unit, not just Jordan Brooks, the unit any love, is Tyrell Dotson is serviceable.
Wow,
that's it, that's all you give Dotson, a serviceable.
Dotson's better than serviceable.
Oh Jesus, guys, come on, guys,
he's come good on. He's good. Okay. He's not really good. He's not elite. He's not great, but he's good.
And Jacob Rodriguez is a promising looking rookie who hasn't played a down in the NFL yet.
No, he featured all of Zach Thomas.
There you go.
Yeah. No, we're not doing this today, T. We're not doing this today.
Sean Dugan was talking about the base 4-3. Because I know everyone's like, oh, hybrid, and they'll do a little bit of both. But he was talking about, you know, guys with the hands down and stuff like that. Is this going to be a 4-3 defense? Are we going to see more two defensive tackles and, you know?
They say it's going to be a 4-3 defense, but I really don't think they have the the capabilities of playing a 4-3 defense. Not to say that they have the capabilities of playing a 3-4 defense. They might just play a 5-2 defense because that's pretty much what they got.
You might have to.
Yeah.
62 sacks monster or something like that. For those who remember the movie, come on, somebody with me here? Tell me out.
Yeah.
Sacks monster. Come on. No. Get up. It's a Tom Cruise movie. The right moves or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise made a football movie?
He did. And Pipe.
I remember that.
I thought you were talking about Jerry Maguire.
Yes. No. I believe it's called All the Right Moves. He played a high school linebacker, an undersized who just wants to get a scholarship, and he mouths off to the coach and gets
picked off
the team. And gets
that was 1983. That was in 1983. I remember that. I was born in 85, but I remember that in 83.
Good work.
The Right Moves.
Jesus.
Entertaining movie. What else can you tell us about the movie, TD guy?
No, it was. I remember the team. They had like a yellow helmet or something like that. And he was, yeah. I remember it, man. He was like number 33 or so, 13 or something.
Very good.
Yeah.
And of course, obligatory of high school movies is like a torrential downpour at like in one of the crucial scenes because every one of those football movies has to have that like insanely ridiculous.
Yeah, the cinematic water splashing
and the slow mo replay on one of the key plays.
Craig Nelson was in that movie too.
I have never
heard of that movie a day in my life, and I did not know.
It's a fun movie.
That's funny. Anyway, should we get to this list?
Yes.
So Omar has tasked us with you want 10?
Yeah, man. You got.
Did you not do your homework, Doug? You're not ready.
I'm ready, but
I don't know.
Listen, there have got to be 10 newcomers.
My 5-month-old ate my homework. He drooled all over it. I think I got 6. I'm trying to find another 4.
Wow, it's like that.
I'll start you off if you want, because I actually, believe it or not, I actually wrote a very story about this, ranking the Dolphins offseason additions on MiamiDolphinsOnSI.com.
We're incorporating draft picks too, right?
No, yes. Correct. And okay. I actually did all of them. I did like all 25 of them. But we're asking about that. No, it's 41 of them. 41.
41 Jeez. Newcomers?
Yeah. At the time I did the story. Number 41 on my list, no offense, was tight end Cole Turner. And I'm sure all you guys right now are going, who?
Is he still here? Yes, he is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't they move on from a tight end?
Yes, they did. They cut the big one. Don't ask me his name.
Zach Kuntz.
There you go.
Kuntz. Yeah, we were calling him Kuntz. Yeah.
I double checked after the fact when I should have checked before the fact. And
all right, Alan, kick us off. Your top 10.
Okay. So this was done May 1st. I don't know that much has changed for the rankings. Counting down, I had at number 10, David Ojabo.
Mm-hmm.
Second round pick of the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Number 9, I'm not sure I'd keep him there right now, but that's who I had at the time, was Josh Uche.
Okay.
Number 8, I had Kyle Lewis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, my highest ranked of the newcomer wide receivers, Tutu Atwell.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, even though it may not be immediate, but which this is a ranking of the offseason additions, I have Chris Bell. Number 5, I have Jamari Salyer, who I believe is going to wind up being the starting left guard. 4, Chris Johnson. 3, Jacob Rodriguez. That's for UTD. 2, Caden Proctor. And number 1, I would think he should be the unanimous number 1 on this panel here. That's Malik Willis.
Go.
Any major objections, comments, thoughts on my list?
Not really.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
I didn't put it in a specific order. Does that matter to anyone?
Yeah, I do. Will Kaczmarek. You didn't have him on your list.
I had him 11.
11, okay.
It don't count, Alan. It don't count.
Well, it's not top 10, correct?
Yeah.
But I would have no issue with him being ahead of Uche in retrospect, but that was my list.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, TD, go ahead. Let it rip.
Who you want to go? You want to go, TD?
It's up to you, brother.
I'll start with my list, which is David Ojabu. I think I said it right. We've actually had the opportunity to talk to him. For those who don't know, he's a former second round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. You all know how I feel about Baltimore Ravens' ability to evaluate players. He has not gotten on the field for 4 years for various reasons, usually injuries, but he's also I think Nigerian or international game import, but he played at Michigan and played well enough to be a second round pick. He's supposed to be a run stuffer. Then I got Lonnie Johnson Jr. I don't know who's going to start at safety, but
they don't even know
that Lonnie Johnson's got the most experience of them all. So, and Lonnie is a player who another former second round pick. Have you guys thought about how many former second round picks are on this team? Give it some thought. Give it some thought. There are a lot of former second round picks on this team. Then I'm going to go with number 8, Caleb Douglas. When you watch Caleb Douglas's film, and especially talking to their wide receiver coach, whose name is Poupard,
Tyke Tolbert.
That's what it is. It's Tyke Tolbert. He basically acknowledged that they had Lonnie Johnson. They had Caleb Douglas very high on their list. They asked the coaches to coach the positions to. They gave them a bunch of receivers and they told them to rank them. What else
is he going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Every year, every draft, this comment always surfaces. Always.
I believe you. I know you're right, but I didn't ask you these things. They volunteered them. I didn't ask you to sing this kid's praises, but they were like, oh, they asked us to rank these specific receivers, and I had Caleb Douglas very high on my list. And I'm like, cool. And it's true. Caleb Douglas does move very uniquely for somebody his size. Kyle Lewis is my number 7 player. I think he's going to be, as they call it, the big nickel, where Chris Johnson is the little nickel. Then I get to Will Kaczmarek, who I put number 6. That second tight end, that inline tight end, that's about 600 snaps, especially when you want to be a physical running team. Unless all of a sudden our homeboy, what's his name, the tight end that Greg Dulcich, unless he becomes an effective inline blocking tight end, we're going to see a lot of Will Kaczmarek. Then I got Jacob Rodriguez, number 5. I think they have an obsession and an infatuation with him, primarily how he punches the ball. He's a master of the peanut punch. I'm very curious to see this peanut punch. Caden Proctor is my number 4 pick. Obviously, we know he's going to be the projected starting left guard and backup.
Number four.
Yeah, that's not props. That's, you know, if it was a certain University of Miami defensive end, it probably would be number 2 on my list. But then let's move on. Chris Johnson is my number 3 player. Let's pray and hope that he stays healthy and he's got a strong camp, because they're going to put a lot on his plate. Tutu Atwell is my number 2 player.
Number 2 for Tutu?
Number Jeez. 2 for Tutu.
Man.
Listen, Tutu can ball. I've watched Tutu for a very long time. Tutu can ball. He's a South Florida kid. As you might have known from the Dolphins promotional video, Rick Ross, who played for my high school, Carroll City, and was a member of the Miami Herald's all-day team, which people who actually follow what's going on here, they know if you're an all-day player, you actually got some skills in football. But he was his dad, Tutu Atwell Jr., his father was on the same all-day team, Tutu Atwell as Tutu Atwell Sr. And I remember Tutu Atwell, the senior, he has some ability. He was probably Chad Ochocinco before Chad Ochocinco. So I think he played at West Virginia. I'm not 100% sure where Tutu Atwell Sr. played at. But he had a respectable college career as well. And then obviously Malik Willis. There is something that I would like to bring to the discussion with you gentlemen about Malik Willis. And this is primarily for somebody who's sitting there in the left corner. I looked at every single.
There's two left corners.
There's a top and a bottom.
The lower left corner. I looked at every single start. Okay, now we've got a 98.9% passer rating for Malik Willis for career-wise. And there are games he's come in there and spelled plays. There's games he's come in there and run special plays. There's games he's come in there and finished games. But when we look at those six starts, which includes a 3-3 record, he has an 83.5 passer rating. He's completing 66% of his passes. He's throwing for 141 yards per game. He's thrown three interceptions and three touchdowns in those games. He's also rushed for 272 yards with four rushing touchdowns and an average of 45.3 yards per game. This is a guy who's going to hopefully complete 66% of his passes. When you extrapolate those numbers and you put that into 17 games, it's not pretty.
You know, I'm disappointed in you, Omar. I'm like disappointed in you right now. How are you literally like nobody is considering his first three games in Tennessee? This is a different guy, totally different.
He has some nice rushing totals in those first three games.
That hasn't left. So that's a sprinkle that can go all the way through. But you don't see when you looked at all six of those games, do you not see a massive difference between the first three and the last three?
His first six games, he had a 35.4 pass rating, a 49.0 pass rating, and a 34.5 pass rating. In his next three games with the Green Bay Packers, a team with far superior talent, 126.8 pass rating, 120.9 pass rating, 134.6 pass rating.
Did you just say far superior talent on offense?
Yeah.
What he was dealing with Green Bay isn't far superior
to what he had in the Tennessee.
Tennessee?
What did he have in Tennessee? Wasn't Derrick Henry still there? He went in for Tannehill. This is the Derrick Henry team. This was the AJ Brown team.
You got me.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, throw the first three games away.
Okay.
Throw them away.
All right.
Like it don't even count. Now you gave us homework, Omar. I'm gonna give you homework.
The last three games, his pass rating is 127.4.
And ain't that higher than never mind.
Let's see.
You know who he had a wide receiver in Tennessee in 2022? By the way, didn't have Julio Jones. He didn't have Julio Jones. He did have Derrick Henry. No. I'm looking at the list right now, and no, their leading receivers were Robert Woods, receivers Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
A.J. Brown was gone?
Yeah, A.J. Brown was gone.
That was the year after,
But the point remains that, he's a completely different quarterback with Green Bay. And in his first two starts in 2024 with Green Bay, he barely threw the ball. Didn't have 20 pass attempts in either case. So the passing yards were going to be low because they weren't asking him to throw. And they won both games.
Mm-hmm. His last game, he completed 20. He attempted 21 passes and 18 of them were completed.
So, yeah, that game they got smoked because their defense couldn't stop Baltimore, but he was really good in that game.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you put the season totals for the last those last three games if it was a full season?
What you mean? If it was a full season?
The passing yardage is pretty low. TD, the passing yardage is still a
small. Oh, I'm not worried about the passing yards. Josh Allen won MVP with 3,100 passing yards. So, I mean, when you look at all the stats, though, for those three games and you put them in 17, that's MVP numbers.
Oh, the passer rating is really, really good.
3,468 yards.
Mm-hmm. More that's than the MVP.
And that touchdown. And he threw one touchdown per game.
It will rushing too. Add those.
Only had two rushing touchdowns at the end. So, actually three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So
six touchdowns.
Six touchdowns. Okay, six touchdowns.
Time. Pushing that out to 17 games is about 34
six in the season. Six touchdowns, divided by three.
How many interceptions? How many interceptions?
He had four interceptions.
Oh, in the last three?
34 touchdowns total.
Wait, four interceptions in the last three games?
Yes, four interceptions in the last three games, sir.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's sacks. Zero interceptions the last.
Oh, yeah. I was like, man, I got to go back and look. Something wrong with that. So zero interceptions. So 17 games, zero interceptions, 34 touchdowns. You know.
Hall of Fame, baby. Hall of Fame.
Is it not?
500 yards, you know. 335.
Man, we go put some respect on Malik Willis' name this year. Some respect, Omar.
I mean, if you give me 3,500 passing yards and 35 total touchdowns, I will call the season a success.
Is he the franchise quarterback?
I didn't say that. I need to see big wins. I need to see him putting the team on his back. I need to see him carrying.
Don't forget. Add 800 rushing yards to that, probably.
No, it ain't gonna be 800. Stop.
You sure?
Stop exaggeration. Let's see.
Can we see how he plays first before and then stop?
I already know, Alan.
Everything with numbers. By the way, Omar, Tutu Atwell Sr. played at Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay. Mm. 58 yards is his average.
Oh, yeah, he 800.
Times 17. I mean, we're also assuming 980. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of rushing yards.
Omar, we might have an MVP this year.
I'm sorry. If he rushes for 800 yards.
Mm-hmm. Plus the 3,400 passing yards.
Yeah.
And interceptions no more than 10.
This is some solid numbers. We're creating some good barometers and metrics here. But because if you can give me 3,500 passing yards, 35 total touchdowns, rushing or throwing, and 800 rushing yards, I'm good with that.
That's 800 rushing yards, how that comes, that's impactful in games. That's critical moments and everything.
I don't have a problem.
So is this the minimum that you see from Malik TD? So if he doesn't hit this parameter, are you going to say he had a bad season?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, honestly, what would be a good season for Malik to me is around 3,100 passing yards. It'll be about 28 touchdowns. Try to get no more than 10 interceptions, which is still all good. What we're talking about with the 35 plus the 800 rushing, that's like people don't realize that is big time. It may not be the 50 touchdowns, but the impact of 3,500 passing yards and 800 rushing yards, 35 touchdowns with less than 10 picks, that is always going to show itself in top three quarterback in the league. Those numbers right there will always be in the 30. That Josh Allen won a MVP off of those numbers, less than actually. So that'll be big time.
But situational football also matters. It's not all about numbers. Okay. By the way, and I can spare us a suspense of TD's list. TD's list is 10 to 1. There's Malik Willis, Malik Willis, Malik Willis, Malik Willis.
Yes, Malik Willis Rodriguez. is not fourth. Yeah.
You know, comparatively speaking, I just looked up Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's only thrown for 3,500 yards, more than 3,500 yards twice in his career.
Perennially.
He has only collectively he has touchdowns to 35 twice in his career. I mean,
yeah. And honestly, those numbers that we talk about that extrapolate out to Malik's year, if he did that consistently, that's better than Lamar numbers. That's crazy. Those are efficient numbers. So we'll see. I don't even expect that from him. But that would be massive. But let me do my list.
Good.
All right. So number 10, I have Josh Uche or Uch. I mean, which one is it?
Uche,
yeah. I just think that he has a huge opportunity with only really him and Chop on the edge. It's like this is a massive opportunity for him, and I think he'll grab it. And because remember, he actually had a 11 and a half sack season in his career. And you know what I like about Uche? He's been to nothing but winning organizations. He's been with the Eagles, he's been with the Patriots, and he's been with the Chiefs. Now he's with the Dolphins. So I think that'll be huge. Number 9.
26 pounds.
Huh?
226 pounds.
It got to win with speed. Got to get there. I mean, that's the type of player he is. He like chopped to me. So, yeah. Number 8, Kyle Lewis as well. I think he'll own that and do very well. Number 7, Lonnie Johnson Jr. I believe he will start at the position and he will make an impact. Will he be great? I don't know, but I think he'll be serviceable to where he can hold his position down. Veteran leadership, think he'll add all of that. Number 6, Will Kaczmarek. I think he's going to be massive. He's going to have an impact immediately in that run game, in my opinion. And I think, you know, it's just one of those players. You're not going to mention much the dirty work that he's doing, but he's effective in doing it. Then I have number 5, Caleb Douglas. I really think this kid is about to be a huge threat because of Malik Willis' strength. That deep ball teardrop over the top is pretty good for Malik, and I think that's going to bode well with Caleb's 4.39 speed. I really do. Number 4, Chris Bell. I push him up my list because I'm going to challenge everybody. I think he's going to be back way sooner than everybody thinks. Why? I know these are two different positions, and I just learned this. Shout out to Glenn. Chris Bell had an ACL. Patrick Mahomes had an ACL and an MCL. And I know there's two different positions pushing all, but Patrick Mahomes is also a mobile quarterback. So if we're going to sit here and say Patrick Mahomes will be back at the beginning of the season, hey, let's just push Chris Bell's timeline up maybe 4 games instead of like week 8 or so, maybe week 4 or even sooner. So I think he's going to have an impact sooner rather than later. Number four, sorry. Chris Bell was number 5. Number 4, Chris Johnson. He's going to hold his side of the field down. I don't think he's an elite corner, but I think he's a corner who's going to always be with his guy, which is going to deter people to throw his way. And when they do throw his way, just going to be a matter of can he make plays in this league when they put it up anyway, even though he has good coverage. Number 3, Jacob Rodriguez. Just like they're selling his hype, I believe in it. I think he's going to be nasty and he's going to show his value right away. Number 2, Kaden Proctor. Listen, you made the investment. This is the one that unlocks the whole team, because if he balls out, you got 4 guys on this O-line that are beyond respectable that can lead this run game to heights that we're not even imagining. And that's what I'm banking on. And last but not least, Malik Willis. Malik Willis. Malik Willis leading the way. Y'all already know how I feel about the future MVP. Any objections?
I don't think so. I think we all have this, because I'm going to throw my 10 out there. I think we all have like the kind of the same 10, maybe like 1 or 2 difference, but it's just the order that we have our 10.
I don't have David though. I don't see.
Ajabo.
Who's to say he's gonna stay healthy here?
Damn.
Who's to say Lonnie Johnson Jr. is gonna stay healthy? Who's to say Chris Bell comes back from the ACL? Who's to say?
Yeah, but at least I've seen a body of work that I believe in. I ain't seen nothing from David even when he was on the field, so
anyway, I will give you my top 10 right after. No, I'm just kidding. So my 10 is David Ajabo. I like that addition, especially because I think he's going to – I also gave my list more on, like, how it would be going to impact, and I think we're going to see a lot of him being that. We don't have any pass rushers, really. So I threw him out there. Kaczmarek, I have him at 9. I like the draft pick. I like what he can bring, his physicality. And I like that it was a finite amount. But the fact that he didn't drop a pass makes me like him even more, especially with his big frame in the red zone and, you know, short down and distances. We can use him as gimmicky rollout type stuff with Malik. My number eight is Chris Bell. I have him solo because of the big question mark that I don't know when he's going to play. So it's like, how big of an impact is he going to have this year? But I think once he gets healthy, he's going to be fantastic for this team. But I wouldn't be surprised if they slow cooked him. You know, you don't have to play right now. You know, keep doing your thing. Number seven, Josh Uche. I think he's hungry. I think he wants to prove and get back to the way he played with New England. Because he actually, when he was a free agent off New England, I wanted to go grab him because I like the way he played there. My number six is Tutu Atwell, another guy who I think, you know, is a good player, got pushed down because of the players that were added above him. I think he's definitely going to help this team. Five, Kyle Lewis. I think he was one of the biggest steals of that draft, getting him when we did. And I like his versatility, especially when the secondaries coach was talking about him. With the safeties. So obviously he's going to be training back there with them. My number four is Caden Proctor. I think he's going to be the future right tackle. And I think that's what they drafted him for. I think Austin Jackson is not going to be on the team next year. Three is Chris Johnson. I'm surprised no one really brought up Chris Johnson.
Dude, we all do.
You all brought up Chris Johnson?
I might have Chris Johnson number
three. Zoning out? All right.
Yeah, we need to pay attention.
I like Chris Johnson. Definitely going to be a starting corner for us for a long time. I've liked him. You know, how many times did I do mock drafts and talked about Chris Johnson? Number two, should be no surprise to anyone who my number two is, Jacob Rodriguez. I love Jacob Rodriguez. When we drafted him, I'm so happy. I like the fact that he is a former quarterback, so he knows what to look for when he's facing these quarterbacks. And obviously, number one, Malik. It has to be Malik. He needs to come in and take control of this team and shut a lot of people up. You know, a lot of people like to bring up Tennessee over and over. Oh, he couldn't beat out, you know, Will Levis, and he couldn't beat out so-and-so. You know, you could say a lot of that. Now, again, I'm going to sound like TD here. So, Alan.
Smart me.
Try to hold the faces when I'm about to say. Okay. But you have guys like Brett Favre. You have guys like Steve Young who are on teams and they didn't do well, and then they went to new teams and they did really, really well. Not saying that's going to happen with Malik, but let's give this kid a shot, you know?
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
There you go.
One thing he did talk about in his introductory press conference was that he wasn't ready when he was given the opportunity to start, and he needed time to learn an NFL offense, learn the speed, adjust to it. And I don't know where this came from. Maybe Poupard can clue me in. Maybe it was some off-the-record conversation, but they view Malik as just like a rookie coming into this class because of his limited experience. They're just investing in him just like he was a first-round pick, and they'll see where it goes from here. But I don't think it's not going to, you know, we'll get a huge sample size as long as he stays healthy, and it's not going to prevent them from doing anything moving forward. But I hate this whole concept and approach and thought process that from this fan base that, oh, we're tanking this year. We're not trying to win.
Bridge.
I don't think that that's what the reality is. I think they've gone with a young, cheap, hungry team they will figure out what rookies can play. You're going to take your lumps with the rookies that are here, and they'll figure out what minimum guys show you that, hey, I'm better than what I've shown throughout the rest of my career. Like Tutu Atwell is not a minimum player, in my opinion. I think part of the reason he came here so that he can play at home. So hopefully he still got that playmaking ability that he had at, I think it was Louisville. Which college did he go to? Louisville. So,
Here's the thing that they would never say publicly, but they also have to understand that logically they're not competing. And there's a bigger purpose for the 2026 season than just making the playoffs, winning a playoff game in advance. And
not competing for what, though?
Well, I think
they're not sniffing the Super Bowl for one. Okay. And, they're not winning the playoff game. And I think they understand that. Not that they would ever say that publicly, but there's a bigger purpose for the 2026 season.
That's why I like the Richard Sherman Halfley discussion, because Halfley came out and said, you know, we're building a foundation Mm-hmm. And then he apologized to the fans. He goes, I'm sorry if you guys don't want to hear that, but, you know, we had to start somewhere, essentially saying, like, look, we're going to try and win, yeah, but don't expect a lot of wins. You know, he essentially, like, said that, like Alan said, they're not, it's, this isn't 2024 where they were like, oh, we were so close in 2023. Let's continue to try and, you know, get over that hump, which they did not. So they're building the foundation, and I think they're doing it the right way this time. But sure, also, yeah, they got really cap strong by the previous regime, and they had no money to do anything. But in all honesty,
you made a lot of those choices. You could have kept Tua here as the backup and saved yourself millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that was the right approach, but let's not act like trading away Minkah or trading away, you lost money trading away Waddle. Like, let's not act like all of these things were just, oh, we had to do it because it was beneficial. No, you had to do it because you were trying to purge your roster.
Yeah, but they also
it was beneficial to trade Waddle beyond this year. Very beneficial. It wasn't beneficial this year. So
yes.
And a ton of their moves are like taking a step back this year to take two steps forward next year and beyond.
Let's hope they can take those two steps.
Absolutely. We'll see.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this sponsor and Prize Picks.
Let's go! Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen, sponsoring the Dolphins Collective. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. Make sure you play $5 to get $50 instantly in lineups, but you got to use code HMA. I put an all Dolphins ticket in, but then it said, hey, you got to at least have two teams. So I just added Matthew Stafford at the bottom to have over 30 and a half touchdowns. I feel good about that. But this is what I got for the Dolphins. Devin Achane, 975.5 yards. That is still the line. Like, I keep telling y'all, I'm giving y'all the play. Go get in on that action, all right? Also, Malik Willis, over 3,175 and a half yards. Omar just beautifully laid out. He going to have way more than that. Greg Dulcich. I got Greg Dulcich under 450.5 yards.
Yeah, that's a lot of yards right there.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's going to be spread out. Then you got Kasmaker that might get a few touches on that. But Brooks, I also have under 2.25 sacks. I have him under
on that one.
You think I did that one wrong, Doug?
Yeah, I picked the over on that one.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't like Dulcich because 450 yards, that's not even 30 yards a game.
Oh. Yeah, with a mobile quarterback too, though.
I mean, you know what? Who's a inexperienced quarterback's best friend?
A good tight end. That's why I was looking up Fasano's numbers. He broke 450 three times.
Brooks, I would put a little above on the sacks, because where else are my sacks going to come from?
How many Brooks on the media did he have last year?
Maybe
that's
two.
A good question.
Okay,
that's, there you go. That can answer that question.
Right now, three and a half last year.
Oh,
over.
There you go.
Seattle might, four
still,
and a half.
He still might get traded, so I might still be all right. But listen, man, you know what? Y'all just obliterated my ticket, man. Now I feel bad about it.
I'm just saying, like, we're trying to help you alter your ticket. That Dulcich. Those numbers look scary right there.
I'd say, like, because if it's 455 and you take the more, you hit on that one. I think it might be a little higher, but hey.
I just think Malik Willis is the type of quarterback that is equal opportunity. Like, everybody's – it's just going to be spread out.
Gonna be, definitely, yeah.
Interesting. You know what? You know, I'll go back and make those changes. I'll get another ticket, and we'll have it on for Wednesday. How about that? But y'all go. You matter of fact, let everybody watching right now make that determination. Go on the Prize Picks, and you go ahead and make your ticket. What would you put in this situation? Where would you put Greg Dulcich, over or under? Would you put Jordan Brooks over or under? All right. You could also follow me on Prize Picks as well, where you can look at mine, and then you can let me know. Hey, hit me up on X and see if I got it right or not. All right. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel.
I will say this. Tucker Kraft last year had 489 receiving yards.
Got also missed the end of the season. Got hurt.
Yeah. Let me see.
And if Greg Dulcich becomes anywhere near as good as Tucker Kraft, win for the Dolphins.
Yeah, the year before, Tucker Kraft had 707 receiving yards. Oh, yeah.
We got another tight end now, though. Who can be on that field?
There you go.
They might be targeting them tight ends. Because they did say that this offense is definitely going to be more dictated towards what the defense shows versus we got to get Tyreek the ball. Because we saw that in 2023 when they were on Hard Knocks, where McDaniel literally was saying, I need to get, Waddle a touchdown here. Let's try to get Waddle this ball. Whereas
that's because Mike always liked to cater to people.
Yes, he did.
I think they were an offense that took whatever the defense gave them, except when they were forcing the ball to Tyreek. First member.
Shadow Fates. First member, 1 year down, many more to go. We appreciate you, bud.
Salute, Shadow. One
of the OGs. Appreciate you. Ian says, please tell me we are doing joint practices with the Falcons. That day on Twitter would be amazing. So far, all we know about is Washington in Washington.
Tua is going to take the day off during that joint practice.
Oh, my God.
So let's not get our hopes up.
Wow.
An injury.
I mean, we have to do one because if we're only doing they get four, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they're only doing one with the first one, then we have to at least
get
one
with the Giants and one with Atlanta. Watch. When the fans want two with Atlanta, they'll do one with Atlanta.
We just got to hope two is healthy on that week.
Yep. Keep him bubble wrapped for the first 2 weeks of the preseason.
Ohio John said, what weight range will Yensir want Proctor to stay during the season?
I think a day under 350 will be the only day he spends under 350.
I think they'd want him around 350 during the season.
As long as he's in the 350s, I think they'll
be fine. Didn't he say that's where he is right now?
Yeah. I believe so, the best shape of his life.
He's been working out, man.
Understand that the combine shape a player is in is usually the best shape of their life.
Yeah.
Is that combine in that South Florida heat, though? You don't think by the end of camp he's going to drop another five or so?
Let me see.
I just don't want to see him winded that much. I expect him to be winded, but not that.
What rookie's going to need an IV in the helmet and pads? That's my favorite thing to look for.
And who barfs up a little bit?
Oh yeah, the who throws up? Yeah, we get these all the time. Y'all don't get these. Yeah,
wow.
We get to see who throw. And remember Tier Tart? I remember him very vividly from this year. Last time I was just like, okay, there's a lot of talk about this Tier Tart, but he seems to be running really behind the rest of the pack. And Tier was lazy as hell. Didn't make it.
We out here talking about practice?
Yeah, we're talking about practice. And Tier's just counting his money over there in Chargers land. Yep. He's not shedding a tear. But he was like, nah, I'm not doing this heat and humidity thing. Mm-hmm.
Ohio John also said, Poop and Omar, can you recall a bigger size disparity on the O-line than Brewer between these 6'6 and up guys?
Or did you see that picture of all eight of the O-linemen?
Oh.
Where they were like bending over and on the line.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, we got a unit. We got a wall.
I recall 2002, they had Jamie Nails, who was 6'6 and 3'6.
I went to college with Jamie Nails.
About that.
Yeah.
I can't remember if there was anybody else on the line who was like that much smaller the way Brewer is compared to those guys. So, yeah, that's a crazy one.
Jay Tillman said, bring back Tyreek as a running back, Achan, and a tall receiver and tight ends defensive nightmare. That man just blew his knee out, and you want him to be a running back?
I'm rooting for Tyreek. I'm pulling for Tyreek just because a lot of bad things have happened in his life, probably a lot of it self-inflicted.
Thank you.
I didn't say it wasn't self-inflicted.
Allegedly self-inflicted.
He's got some tough spots a lot of times.
I mean, you break the Instagram model's leg, and then you had to carry her upstairs, and then you had to do her while you're married. I mean, obviously, you're
you had
obviously that's a little self-inflicted. Like, So,
oh, wow, boy.
It's true. These are all facts of the case. I brought it to the testimony of the evidence. But I want to see Tyreek get back on the field. When we watched that injury last year, like, come on, raise your hand if you thought his career was over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, all of us thought his career was over. I hear these
it running. It still might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I want to see him get back on the NFL field. And I don't care who it's for.
Nobi said it will be interesting to see how Malik does when teams are actually preparing for him. Big difference compared to entering the game in relief. He started a few games.
Yes,
but teams didn't have enough of a book on him to know what he liked and to take it away from him. Like that's my thing. I've always been told by defensive coaches that you need about five NFL starts to figure out what a quarterback is, what he likes to do, and then what they try to do is they try to make you play left-handed. No offense, Alan. They try to make you play to your weaknesses. So if you're like, you know, basketball connotation, I forget what it was. Detroit Isaiah Thomas was like, yeah, we was always trying to make Jordan go to his left because his left handle wasn't good.
It didn't matter.
Yeah. But, you know, you try to play to their weaknesses. And the thing about Malik is everybody knows he wants to run. Everybody knows he wants to run like a chicken with his head cut off. So and throw the ball downfield. Now, can they build an offense around it? We'll see.
Samo Headbutt said Malik will be Cleo Lemon 2.0, especially with how the team is built this season. Miami will be drafting in the top three next year. Book it.
TD, care to respond?
I already told you I don't have no comment. Y'all gonna learn. Y'all are going to learn this year. You know what? Dolphin fans just don't know how to be happy because we've been scarred so much. But
oh,
finally.
Did you all hear what's going on with Inter Miami?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
I'm not even a soccer aficionado, but their loyal fan base is mad at Messi. They didn't bring their drums and sound and all their chants. They gave them 85 minutes of silence. And then cheered for the final 5 minutes. I started tweeting out some of the videos. There's video of Messi responding to them, and like it's crazy. I'm not a soccer guy, but I mean that's like coming out to Dan Marino and saying you didn't say hi to us when you left the field. Like we're not
cheering. Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me. Acknowledge our presence. Now, I got to go to the game and see what this presence is. I'm very curious now. I truly am. Like, this is hit local news, and it's, like, serious.
But like, don't do it to Malik.
You can come back and report to us, Omar, because I'm
Sirlip says, happy to catch you alive with a big $20 donation. We appreciate you, bud. The Foo family with a 20 year says Omar and Poop. Has there ever been a time where two beat writers have gotten into it in the press room about a certain situation that you can tell us? Has things ever been heated?
There used to be some, like, wasn't there some Armando Jason Cole stuff? No, okay, no.
I don't recall ever.
Do you guys sit in there during the games with the other team's beat guys? Yeah.
We have our section. They're sequestered away from us. And usually when we're on the road, we're sequestered away from them as well. It's.
I don't remember any major beef where.
Yeah, you don't remember because you started.
I remember when
I started everything. So yeah,
it's the Allen faces. Somebody will say something, and he'll make a face. I'm like, we make faces.
No, we have our heated debates in the media.
Oh, yeah, we have our heated debates, but we beef.
Did y'all used to debate about?
You know what I'm thinking about? There's certain individuals who don't talk to each other. That just so happen to work with each other.
Did y'all used to debate in a lot with each other about the last quarterback?
Who, me and Alex?
Of course.
No, just time. You and everybody.
All the time.
All the time.
You can see it in the writing, the different writings and stuff, like with Perk and all that.
Yeah, Alan, I need a list of who was on which side, you know. You get a chance.
You can figure it out, but I'll provide you with a list.
Sleeps Tonight said, I hope on this sinking boat back in the Sopranos era.
I hopped on the sinking boat back in the Sopranos era. Sparano era.
Sparano, there you go.
Quickly tell me, what was your favorite era of the Dolphins? Ooh, what's my favorite era of the Dolphins?
Obviously Marino for me. That's when
I liked the Dolphins. I liked the Joey Porter era.
Yeah.
I think that was a fun locker room. They used to play cards in there. You'd have to like go to a table and like do your interviews in between a hand of can of spades or whatever, bid whisk or whatever they were playing. Joey Porter dropped a lot of knowledge on me over the years, and I like that era.
It was brief, but the Ricky era was fun
for you. Exactly. For you, Ricky didn't talk to anybody but Dave Hyde.
Wow.
I got him one-on-one one time, actually. I set something up. And
Post the return?
I don't recall. I think it was post the return, and you keep it away from, like, X's and
yes.
O's.
Mm-hmm. Rick, the weird thing about Ricky is Ricky would talk to you and have a regular conversation with you. He'd talk about diet and magnets and you know, energy. The minute you talk about football, I'm done here.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done here. No interest. No, and we're talking years.
No, there was a question. Literally, it was asked. He was on the verge of reaching 10,000 career rushing yards, and the question was like, how meaningful would that be to you? And literally, he's sitting in a stool, got up, goes, okay, I'm done. And it's like, I mean, that's a legitimate question. I mean,
was it? No, was he? Do you think he was like that pre Wanstead or after Wanstead? Because it seems like Wanstead might have ran him into the ground and made him not really like football. He also had a lot of anxiety and personal things that he was going through that no one knew until the documentary came out. Some effed up things that he went through.
Doug, what was that era of Jonathan Martin? What years were that? Was that
drafted in 2012?
Well, in that era, when we had that good line with Incognito, Pouncey, all of those guys, I felt like that team got robbed of that scandal, situation. Yeah, I felt like that was a solid team that could have done something special, but got robbed of the scandal.
Yeah. Even like the early 2000s defense, that was a good era. We had such a good defense.
Yep.
Jason Taylor. Just Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. Sorry, you just put those two together.
No. Don't sleep on Tim Bowens and the corner.
No, but I'm just saying that era with. Oh, so good. Even like having Brock Marion back there.
Man, that 2023 era, man.
Yeah, you could romanticize about that year.
So long ago.
Yeah.
It was the closest we've ever been, and was only missing one piece. That's the crazy.
And what was that?
Health. Health.
The kicker. Placeholder.
Health. There you go. Health. That was the element
I was missing. Yeah. I think all four of us
want to blame it on the quarterback, but he wasn't dropping passes. He was like Kansas City. That's on more on Tariq than it is on Tua.
But I think all four of us can agree that we didn't get bit. We got chomped on by that injury bug in 2023. Like it got bad. Holy crap. The fact that they called, who did they call?
All the pass rushers off the
street. Yeah, who was it? It wasn't
Justin Houston.
There you go. It was Justin Houston. It was like,
it was a lot. Justin Houston, like, a kid who got cut in training camp.
Reed was another one.
Like, hey, we're playing a playoff game. We need some pass rushers. Who can play right now?
He signed like three of them on Monday.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but
I think we had the starting rotation on our offensive line, like what?
Only problem I had is I think the Colts that year had even more injuries than us. Mm. And they still were able to have success. They had a lot of injuries on that team.
Whatever.
Shut up.
Oh, yes, this isn't the Colts Collective. Come on.
Whatever.
Let's get out of here. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and the Roundtable Sports. You can check me out, youtube.com/DougieDoWrong. We will see you Wednesday with some insider information, as much as they can give us.
Can't wait.
The first opening for them of OTAs.
Yeah, I got to study my rules.
Did you see, by the way, the Steelers were like, okay, this is the offensive line as it lines up, and then they have like the four different rotations at quarterback. And it's like, yeah, we can't do any of that.
Yeah.
NDA, buddy. NDA.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
We will see you guys Wednesday. Peace.